Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One. Let's face it, being a pet owner can sometimes be a bit of a chore. For example, having to let your cat in and out of your house many times a day and even at night can be annoying. However, now there's a high-tech solution to this problem. It is called Petvation. It is a pet door which is fitted with the latest technology, including facial recognition. It makes sure that only your pet comes into your house. Cameras installed on either side of the door scan and identify your pet. The device is fitted at your home by a specialist who also calibrates it to recognize your pet. Once that's done, your pet can freely leave and enter your house at any time. If you have more than one pet, don't worry. The door can recognize up to 5 different pets. I had it installed 3 weeks ago, and now I can't imagine my life without it.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Let's face it, being a pet owner can sometimes be a bit of a chore. For example, having to let your cat in and out of your house many times a day and even at night can be annoying. However, now there's a high-tech solution to this problem. It is called Petvation. It is a pet door which is fitted with the latest technology, including facial recognition. It makes sure that only your pet comes into your house. Cameras installed on either side of the door scan and identify your pet. The device is fitted at your home by a specialist who also calibrates it to recognize your pet. Once that's done, your pet can freely leave and enter your house at any time. If you have more than one pet, don't worry, the door can recognize up to 5 different pets. I had it installed 3 weeks ago, and now I can't imagine my life without it.
For many years, architects visiting London have put the Rolling Bridge on their must-see list. The structure was created by an acclaimed English designer, Thomas Heatherwick, and is the only bridge of its kind in the world. Opened in 2004, it unrolls itself to be a footbridge over a small canal in the Paddington Basin, and then rolls up to let boats pass. When in motion, it looks like a narrow carpet unrolling, or the fingers of your hand closing to form a fist. The bridge opens and closes in near silence, which adds to its elegance. No doubt the bridge is an outstanding achievement of modern engineering, but there's one negative aspect. Unfortunately, it broke down months ago and is temporarily closed. Let's hope it comes back into operation very soon.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
For many years, architects visiting London have put the Rolling Bridge on their must-see list. The structure was created by an acclaimed English designer, Thomas Heatherwick, and is the only bridge of its kind in the world. Opened in 2004, it unrolls itself to be a footbridge over a small canal in the Paddington Basin, and then rolls up to let boats pass. When in motion, it looks like a narrow carpet unrolling, or the fingers of your hand closing to form a fist. The bridge opens and closes in near silence, which adds to its elegance. No doubt the bridge is an outstanding achievement of modern engineering, but there's one negative aspect. Unfortunately, it broke down months ago and is temporarily closed. Let's hope it comes back into operation very soon.
Three. Can't we postpone the renovation works for a month? We've got loads of requests for books from students. It's exam time.
Well, library users were informed well in advance about the 2-year renovation plan and the need to close the library for some time.
But how can we leave them without access to our resources?
We aren't going to. Borrowing will still be possible. Books people order online will be available for collection from other libraries in our network, for example, Littleton Library. Students will be able to select the pickup location that suits them best.
Still, it will be a nuisance for our users and for us. The books will need to be transferred.
Yes, but we simply can't have people visiting the library when floor coverings are being replaced and walls painted. I think that 2 weeks of discomfort is not a high price to pay.
Perhaps you're right.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Can't we postpone the renovation works for a month? We've got loads of requests for books from students. It's exam time.
Well, library users were informed well in advance about the 2-year renovation plan and the need to close the library for some time.
But how can we leave them without access to our resources?
We aren't going to. Borrowing will still be possible. Books people order online will be available for collection from other libraries in our network, for example, Littleton Library. Students will be able to select the pickup location that suits them best.
Still, it will be a nuisance for our users and for us. The books will need to be transferred.
Yes, but we simply can't have people visiting the library when floor coverings are being replaced and walls painted. I think that 2 weeks of discomfort is not a high price to pay.
Perhaps you're right.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One.
My childhood was free of worries and anxieties. Everything was given to me on a silver platter, and I wish I had appreciated it at the time. Now, as an adult, I think about all the children who aren't as lucky as I was. I tremble at the thought that there are many regions on our planet where children do not have easy access to basic necessities such as water and food because of the effects of climate change. Sometimes I get angry and frustrated because I'm so powerless.
Two. Imagine you go outside and look up into the sky and there's a comet there. And you've just been told by scientists that the comet is racing toward the Earth and it threatens us all. And nobody else notices the comet. And you scream, Hey, look, there's a comet coming our way, and it's dangerous. And people just don't seem to care. It's the same with climate change. Three.
Our planet is precious, and only we can save it. That's why we can't ignore the obvious facts. We need to know what is happening, but we also need to try to do something about it. We don't have the time anymore to sit and think, why is it happening? Because that doesn't help us. It's high time people ask themselves a more productive question, what can I do about it now? And actually start doing it. Even simple things such as recycling waste or turning off the taps when we brush our teeth can make a difference. If you know you are doing your part to tackle the climate crisis, you will also be able to sleep better at night.
4. We need to understand how we as humans impact the planet. We are already seeing the flooding of coastal cities, forest fires, and tornadoes. We need to realize that what is happening in other parts of the world is going to happen here sooner or later. I believe many people are aware of climate change and fear its consequences, but are still reluctant to take any action. I think it's extremely irresponsible that they refuse to take even the simplest steps like using public transport or saving electricity. How can they be so ignorant? 5.
I was born into climate change. I have such vivid memories of doing my homework by candlelight as typhoons raged outside. I grew up being afraid of waking up to a flooded room without electricity. Some people think it won't happen to them in the place where they live, but they're wrong, because today no part of the world is free from climate change. Try to imagine how you would feel when suddenly all your personal belongings, family albums, valuables, or even your home vanished. The problem is that we often don't realize how closely our existence is linked to the natural world until we have learned it firsthand.
1.
My childhood was free of worries and anxieties. Everything was given to me on a silver platter, and I wish I had appreciated it at the time. Now, as an adult, I think about all the children who aren't as lucky as I was. I tremble at the thought that there are many regions on our planet where children do not have easy access to basic necessities such as water and food, because of the effects of climate change. Sometimes I get angry and frustrated because I'm so powerless.
2. Imagine you go outside and look up into the sky and there's a comet there. And you've just been told by scientists that the comet is racing toward the Earth and it threatens us all. And nobody else notices the comet. And you scream, "Hey, look, there's a comet coming our way, and it's dangerous." And people just don't seem to care. It's the same with climate change. 3.
Our planet is precious, and only we can save it. That's why we can't ignore the obvious facts. We need to know what is happening, but we also need to try to do something about it. We don't have the time anymore to sit and think, why is it happening? Because that doesn't help us. It's high time people ask themselves a more productive question, what can I do about it now? And actually start doing it. Even simple things such as recycling waste or turning off the taps when we brush our teeth can make a difference. If you know you are doing your part to tackle the climate crisis, you will also be able to sleep better at night.
Four. We need to understand how we as humans impact the planet. We are already seeing the flooding of coastal cities, forest fires, and tornadoes. We need to realize that what is happening in other parts of the world is going to happen here sooner or later. I believe many people are aware of climate change and fear its consequences, but are still reluctant to take any action. I think it's extremely irresponsible that they refuse to take even the simplest steps like using public transport or saving electricity. How can they be so ignorant? Five.
I was born into climate change. I have such vivid memories of doing my homework by candlelight as typhoons raged outside. I grew up being afraid of waking up to a flooded room without electricity. Some people think it won't happen to them in the place where they live, but they're wrong, because today no part of the world is free from climate change. Try to imagine how you would feel when suddenly all your personal belongings, family albums, valuables, or even your home vanished. The problem is that we often don't realize how closely our existence is linked to the natural world until we have learned it firsthand.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Our guest today, Jonathan Benskin, is a high school biology teacher in Florida. He has just completed a research project he organized for his class. Jonathan, how did it all begin?
The objective of the project was to conduct a soil study, which involved examining the structure of soil samples obtained in the Everglades National Park. I reached out to many researchers to get their support for this project, but unfortunately, I was turned down. They claimed the topic would be a challenge to experienced scientists, and so it was too difficult for high school students. Luckily, my email reached a researcher from a scientific program at the US Department of Energy. She was keen to help because she herself had been inspired by her biology teacher to get into science.
Why the Everglades? And what were some of the biggest challenges?
I chose the Everglades because a lot is unknown about the diversity of organisms living there. The students had to come up with a procedure for soil extraction and acquire the necessary permits, all of which turned out to be rather time-consuming. One of the biggest challenges of the project was the lack of roads through the remote part of the Everglades that we selected. The students used images from Google Maps to determine the optimal routes to take. But when we were actually moving across the region in canoes, we realized a lot of changes had occurred there since the images were taken. As a result, we had to alter our routes on the way.
What assistance did the students receive from the researcher at the US Department of Energy?
She provided seminars and web conferences, as the students wouldn't have managed most tasks without guidance. But they had to deal with some issues by themselves, most importantly, obtaining the necessary soil samples. After that, the researcher explained how to analyze DNA extracted from the soil and supervised the students as they examined and compared their data with huge DNA databases. She also guided them through the process of writing an article, which later on appeared in a scientific journal.
And the last question, how do you feel about this adventure?
It was a great joy to see what these students accomplished and how this partnership developed in such a short time. I feel the project is a great model for how the next generation of scientists can be trained. It may need improvement, but the approach deserves recognition. My students now have a deeper understanding of the research process. I hope some of them will consider pursuing a career in science in the future.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Our guest today, Jonathan Benskin, is a high school biology teacher in Florida. He has just completed a research project he organized for his class. Jonathan, how did it all begin?
The objective of the project was to conduct a soil study, which involved examining the structure of soil samples obtained in the Everglades National Park. I reached out to many researchers to get their support for this project, but unfortunately I was turned down. They claimed the topic would be a challenge to experienced scientists, and so it was too difficult for high school students. Luckily, my email reached a researcher from a scientific program at the US Department of Energy. She was keen to help, because she herself had been inspired by her biology teacher to get into science.
Why the Everglades? And what were some of the biggest challenges?
I chose the Everglades because a lot is unknown about the diversity of organisms living there. The students had to come up with a procedure for soil extraction and acquire the necessary permits, all of which turned out to be rather time-consuming. One of the biggest challenges of the project was the lack of roads through the remote part of the Everglades that we selected. The students used images from Google Maps to determine the optimal routes to take. But when we were actually moving across the region in canoes, we realized a lot of changes had occurred there since the images were taken. As a result, We had to alter our routes on the way.
What assistance did the students receive from the researcher at the US Department of Energy?
She provided seminars and web conferences, as the students wouldn't have managed most tasks without guidance. But they had to deal with some issues by themselves, most importantly, obtaining the necessary soil samples. After that, the researcher explained how to analyze DNA extracted from the soil and supervised the students as they examined and compared their data with huge DNA databases. She also guided them through the process of writing an article, which later on appeared in a scientific journal.
And the last question, how do you feel about this adventure?
It was a great joy to see what these students accomplished and how this partnership developed in such a short time. I feel the project is a great model for how the next generation of scientists can be trained. It may need improvement, but the approach deserves recognition. My students now have a deeper understanding of the research process. I hope some of them will consider pursuing a career in science in the future.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.